Hello, this is Hunter Johnson. I'm joined with Cecil Hurt. Welcome to the Bama Beat Alabama Basketball Podcast, sponsored by Zaxby's and Wickles. We are so happy to have Wickles on board with us as a sponsor. Everything from their pickles, their pickled okra, their relishes, which I love on sandwiches. We are really, really happy to partner with them. You can check them out at your local grocery store or go to WicklesPickles.com for more information. Cecil. Last night, finally get the first. Nate's able to get his first W.
Monday was a good news, bad news day.
Yes.
So you want to start with the good news or the bad news?
Let's just go ahead and get into the bad news first.
Okay.
That's what happened first.
I held Hunter back last week, or our last basketball podcast, in discussing Javon Quinterly because there was an appeal pending, and that appeal was denied, and so I'm not holding Hunter back anymore.
The problem is, to me, the inconsistency with the way these appeals are done, and more so to me, is the complete lack of transparency. It makes no sense to me why this kid was not given an opportunity when other kids are, and while we don't know what was the reason? Like, what did we not address in our, presentation? It's just incredibly frustrating. He would have meant so much to this basketball team. I feel bad for him, mainly because I think he thought he would be able to come in and play this year.
Feel bad for him. Feel bad for his family.
That's the thing. They've already gone through so much.
You end up with an appeals committee. This is far, far bigger than Javon Quinterly's appeal. Mm-hmm. There are people at the NCAA on the committee level. The NCAA, people get mad at the NCAA. The NCAA is just a building in Indianapolis.
Right.
There are people. It's people. And this committee, it may have an AD, mid-major AD. It may have a Power 5 AD. Who knows? They may have a law professor from Indiana State. And may have a lawyer from some prestigious firm in Cheyenne, Wyoming. They don't know anything about college basketball.
Right.
They don't understand what the issues that are involved here really are.
Do they know who Book Richardson is?
Do they know? Do they get all that?
Right.
And do they get how media or message board? They took a poll. Javon's at Villanova, trying to play at Villanova, trying to get education, and somebody, one of the websites or fan sites or radio station in Philadelphia or whatever, does a poll. Do you want Javon Quinterly to leave? And 80-something percent of the Villanova people who responded said, yeah, we want him out of here. That's just fans. It's not scientific. But, that's kind of tough on a kid.
For sure.
That's kind of tough.
And I can only imagine what he heard on the road last year.
And for them to say that he didn't check a box, what Alabama should have done. People say, oh, you need to lawyer up. You need to, they should have just lied about what happened. Mm-hmm. They should have just lied and said, he was unfairly berated. He was, whatever the 9 million reasons that people, this is why Hunter calls for transparency. Whatever the 9 million reasons are that get 80% of the kids' waivers, you should have just taken one of those reasons, said, that's what happened. And gone with it.
Yeah, one that worked.
Instead of trying to build a case around what the truth was, because then you've got to assume that the committee knows the truth, mm-hmm. understands the truth, sees what that all means, which I don't think they did.
Right.
I clearly don't think they did.
Well, not to.
And so they come back to you and they say, well, it didn't check the right box. It didn't, which is what basically was said. And in the appeal, it's just about basketball. It's not just about basketball. It's not. Or, if you believe that it is, show me which of the 80% that get approved aren't just about basketball or aren't just about football.
Exactly. That's the thing. That's the thing right there. And to go a little deep state here, in looking at the committee members, there's not a single committee member of that committee from the Southeastern Conference. Now, there are some from Power 5 conferences, but mm-hmm. zero from the SEC.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it sucks. Like we said, feel bad for Javon. It stinks. Feel bad for his family after all that they've gone through. His mom kind of had a tweet talking about that last night, you know, going through their Venmo transactions from 2015, like $10 Venmos, asking where that came from. Like, that's just some ridiculous stuff that they've dealt with, and it stinks that the NCAA didn't recognize
that. Yeah, and
that.
Again, without naming any names, there'll be some guys who rolled through Coleman Coliseum this year. And I wonder if they went through their Venmos.
I bet they did not. Not even going to get into that.
Yeah, I didn't say they did or didn't. I just said I wonder if they did.
I wonder, yeah, for sure. Okay, I think I've talked enough about that. I think
can't
we
change have, it now. Yeah. You know, and best case scenario, Javon has a good attitude. He's the first kid to hug Nate Oates.
That was what I was about to say.
Nate's win, first win at Alabama. Use it as motivation, man. Use it as fire. That's all you can do. I mean,
he can get better. He can be one of the best scout team players in the country for us this year.
Probably, you know, depending on what Kyra decides to do. He's going to play a lot either way.
Right.
But, you know, if Kyra decides to pursue other options after this year, got a job waiting for him.
Probably. And another thing that I don't think people are considering is how it can kind of affect recruiting too, because that's another guy that you already have on the roster.
Yeah, people are saying, here's a McDonald's All-American.
You're going to go in and play. They got Kyra Lewis. They got this guy who's going to be playing next year. You're a point guard. Why are you going to go play there?
Yeah. I think that happened.
I think that 100% happened, and that's where I'm going to kind of go with now. He'll already committed after we go on the record about this, and I don't think he's not coming to Alabama. But you know, Namari Burnett committing today. I think that's probably what happened with that situation. You know, kid goes from liking Alabama for the entire summer and fall. I thought we were going to get him, but always knew it was going to be a late period thing. And I think he was going to kind of look and see, you know, what the landscape looked like in the late period. Texas Tech, who was not even in his top 10, you know, that's where I think he's probably going to go. Comes in, and next thing you know, he's decided to commit in the early period. So that's what happens in college basketball recruiting, I guess.
It does.
Okay, we've gotten the negative part of the podcast somewhat out of the way. So let's talk about last night.
Mm-hmm.
Me and you talked before the game. With the limited roster that we had playing, with guys dinged up the way they were, I didn't really have great expectations going in. I was concerned. Let's talk about like what we had in terms of pieces. You know, you got Reese dinged up. You got Beetle Bolden dinged up.
Herb out.
Herb
was out.
Yeah, you knew. Yeah, you did not think Herb was going to play. You're looking with eight guys. It was going to be an uphill battle. But really, at no point was I really that concerned. I mean, it was, I think the last tie might have been like 21-21 or something like that. And then Alabama went in Zaff on a 20-2 run, which really, I mean, that was the difference in the game.
I'll tell you what, of all the things, hey, this is relative to the opposition level, relative to the time of year, but to see Alabama be able to throw the ball into a post guy who makes a post move and scores or gets fouled and goes confidently to the foul line, doesn't shoot 100%, but looks good with his free throws. Very surprising considering it was a kid who sat out last year. It was probably 50 pounds too heavy. And also, given his experience level, just scratching the surface.
Right.
But, man, that's a transcendent thing to see that.
Yeah. It was really cool to watch.
Everybody's not Florida Atlantic.
Right. He's not going to do that against everybody. He's not going to do that, you know, against everybody in the SEC. But just the flash.
Javian Davis.
Yeah. Yeah. That's obviously who we're talking about here. Almost is one rebound away from a double-double. He was going strong to the basket, too. Like, it was something like, you know, something like we just hadn't seen from him or really anybody in a few years. 7 of 9 at the line. Seriously, 7 of 9, like from a post guy,
and looked good.
Looked great. He had the one that
rolled, caught. Yeah, caught.
And, but that went in, and it was like, okay, I'm not going to miss anymore now.
Yeah,
yeah, it was awesome to watch, and especially with, you know, Galen fouling out, which, but Javian only had one foul, which. Not really used to that from a big man either.
He really would have had a double-double had Nate Oates not put Tyler Barnes, the rebounding machine,
right
into the game.
White bola.
Once Tyler's in there, the boards are clean.
Right.
And nothing there for Javion to get that 10th rebound.
Yeah, and just to point that out, yeah. I thought he had 5 rebounds. The box score says 4, but 4 rebounds in 2 minutes and 41 seconds. I mean, that's a pretty impressive. That's a Bola-esque rate right there.
Yeah. So if he's getting 30 minutes of playing time, you know, he's basically going to grab about 50, 55 rebounds.
I saw somebody say, is he our Rodman? Another thing about Davis, though, too.
He's never been to North Korea, as far as I know.
Another thing about Davis, too, was when he was, you know, going after those rebounds, he got a hand on probably 20 of the boards. He was getting a hand on everything.
And Reese was rebounding well, too.
He did. Reese had 8, and Reese, you know, played 25 minutes, which was more than I thought he would. And Reese kind of got it. I felt like once he got warm a little bit toward in the second half, he, you know, found his shot a little bit. So, yeah, it's 2 of 5 from 3, 5 of 8 overall. You know, another guy who, you know, we thought it was might have been just a random thing first game, Shackelford.
Yeah, you know, Nate Oates has been high enough on him through the whole process, really almost since practice began, that I wouldn't say I thought, oh, maybe it was just a first game. He's just going to be a tough guard to you know, we'll see 3 years, 4 years. He's a good guy to have on your roster.
Right.
Score, competitive. can apparently take coaching.
Golly. That was what I was going to talk about. Oates is all over him and has been in 2 games. Like, and I wonder, I feel like it has to be because he realizes how good Shackelford can be and is going to try to get that out of him. But, man, he is all over him.
I know why it was in the first game, because he didn't get back on defense one time.
And the second – so I
didn't see it.
I had a buddy.
I mean, I saw the conversation.
I had a buddy sitting behind our bench, and there were some other choice words involved, but essentially what Oates was saying to him, he said, you're not getting beat because you're slow. You're getting beat because you're lazy. Right. And that's with some other colorful language involved there too. But yeah,
and yet he didn't. He got a tech that he didn't use any colorful language on.
Yeah,
you know, I'm sure that Shouse told him to shut up.
Shouse isn't the one who gave it to him. It was the other guy.
Yeah, but I'm sure he was told to be quiet, and he wasn't quiet. But it was a soft tech.
Very. And as Nate Oates was yelling, he looked at Doug Shouse and says, he points at the official who gave the tech, going, "He's soft. That's soft. He's soft." And then looks at the official who called it on him and goes, "You're soft. You're soft." It's a wonder he didn't get another one, which also would have been another soft technical.
Right.
But yeah, and I'm not really a fan. Tangent, I'm not really a fan of coaches getting technicals. There's no sense of giving away free points. I think there's times that it is useful. I don't know that last night was one, but I don't
think he was looking for one.
He was not trying to get one. Right. Yeah. And but it happened. Thankfully, it ended up not mattering. Right as he got out, I think we had a 5-point lead and they cut it to 2. And I was going to get kind of mad, but it ended up working out okay. Those 2 points that they scored because of that ended up not mattering, much like the 2017 Iron Bowl.
John Petty, not his best game.
No.
Didn't get in a rhythm.
Turned
the ball over. What, 6 times?
Yes, it was 6. But yeah. I was looking at the stat line, and 5 assists. So, like, it's not like he was just
ball movement was great. 21 assists on 26 field goals.
Right. Yeah. That's pretty dadgum good. Kyra had 8. And Kyra minimized the turnovers, only had 2. Obviously, Kyra was our best plus minus guy.
Probably would have been 3 or 4 more assists if they could make the under the basket scoop reverse layup more consistently. They tried 4 or 5 of those.
Yeah, that's we're not really good at that shot.
That's
we missed a few of those against Penn too.
That's a Relaford special. Right. There. Let him shoot that one.
Okay, so Rhode Island this weekend. First road test, game's at 6:30 Central on the NBC Sports Network, which I don't know that I've ever watched in my entire life before, but I do know that I get. Going on the road, it's going to be tough. This is a game that we were supposed to play last year, but we got it pushed back 1 year. I don't really know how good Rhode Island's supposed to be. I think
I saw a minute of them against Maryland, and they were okay.
Right now in KenPom, we're like, I think, 72nd, and they're like 85th.
Yeah, it's too early, though. They're not really connected.
Right.
It'll be a tough place to play.
Anytime you play like a mid-major,
where 18 feet of snow.
Right.
Yeah, the KenPoms are 73-88 right. today. Rhode Island's 1-1. Won the one you'd expect them to win against Long Island, lost the one you'd expect them to lose against Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Got a big guy, Cyril Langevin, who played last year. He's a senior. Everybody's got big seniors.
Right.
How does this happen?
Except for us. We have one small senior.
Right, right. They've got, he's 240. They've got a couple of guys at 230. Don't know what Herb's status will be. So, will be a tough game. I know that Hunter is sad that Coach Hurley will not be there.
God, screw that guy. And it stinks because I know him and Oates are like kind of tied.
Yeah, I do not know David Cox, who's their new coach.
Yeah, I do not know him either. It'll be a tough test.
It's not unwinnable,
right.
I'll
but
say
it's
that.
Not one that I'm going into saying, like, I 100% expect to win this game.
Toss up.
It's a coin flip.
It's a toss up.
So, and a lot of that depends on do we get Herb back? Is Herb healthy enough to really give us something?
Right.
I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully, Alex Reese is getting a couple days off because you could see him grimacing a couple times with the hip. So hopefully, we'll be as healthy as possible going up to Kingston, Rhode Island.
There has been in the past a tendency for John Petty to be better on the road than at home.
Right.
So
yeah.
Because John is certainly capable of going out there and knocking down 6-7 threes.
For sure. We've seen it happen on the road before. Saw it in Knoxville last year.
Saw it in Knoxville. And it's been a tendency. He shot better on the road than at home. So,
right. So
we'll see. It'll be an interesting matchup.
So we'll do this again next week. Guys, I do want to thank you for the feedback that we've been getting on this, both on Twitter and we got some reviews on iTunes on the podcast store. One of them was so kind to me, I thought that my own mother might have written it. But we appreciate that. Keep it coming. We hope that you're enjoying it. We're enjoying doing it. So just want to thank you all for joining us, and we'll do this again next week, and hopefully be talking about a win over Rhode Island. Thanks, guys.